All right, this morning we're going to start off a little different. You know, I always try to tell a joke. Today I'm going to tell a one-liner. Okay, so you got to stick with me quick right from the beginning. Can't take time for this to get here. Mario, I'm going to need you to bail me out if it doesn't go over, okay? Get the laugh right there. This is for you ladies. It says, I told my friend that she drew her eyebrows on a little bit too high. She looked surprised. Okay. One-liners worked. Okay, good to go. Today we're going to be talking about forgiveness. We're going to look at forgiveness from a couple of different ways, but we're back in the book of Matthew. We're in chapter 27. We'll be in verses 1 through 10. So I invite you to open your Bibles there today as we walk through those scriptures. We're going to continue going through the book of Matthew until we finish, and then we'll go to a different book yet to be determined. But last week we were looking at the denial of Peter, and we looked at how he went from being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ to being one who claimed that he had never even been with Jesus, one who claimed that he ever didn't even know who Jesus was, and he didn't even want to acknowledge that he was associated with Jesus. And hopefully out of that lesson last week, we're able to use the time to examine our own lives and see that there are times in our lives, too, that we go from being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ to maybe being one that denies him in our own life, maybe in something that we do or something that we say or maybe a little character flaw or something that we have in ourselves. I hope that through that story of Peter that we were able to see our weaknesses and that maybe we were able to work on those just a little bit. How do we go from being that faithful follower of Jesus to go to one that denies him in different areas of our life? Hopefully we're able to work on that. But today we're going to be going back to look at someone that we've already talked about just a few chapters ago. We're going to be looking at Judas again. But this time we're going to be looking at not the beginning or the middle of Judas' life, but we'll be looking at the ending of the life of Judas. And my prayer for today is that we will learn about the power of Jesus' forgiveness through this message that we have here. So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Matthew 27, 1 through 10. And if you'll follow along in your own Bibles or here on the screen as we read through that. It says, Now when morning had come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and they led him away and delivered him up to Pilate the governor. And then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, What is it that to us? See to that yourself. And he threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary, and he departed, and he went away, and he hanged himself. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood. And they counseled together, and with the money they bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. And for this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me. Now here in the first part of today's scripture, we see that Jesus is once again being reviewed for his so-called made-up crimes. And then we see how Judas responded to the fact that because of his actions, Jesus now was being condemned. So in the first part, we look at a continuance of where we were last week in verses 1 and 2. And those say that now when morning had come, the time after they had been at Caiaphas, the morning came and all the chief priests and the elders of the people, they took counsel against Jesus and decided that he needed to be put to death. And so they bound him and they led him away and he delivered him up to Pilate the governor. And so the chief priests and the elders and the high priest Caiaphas, they had determined that Jesus was guilty of the charge, remember, of blasphemy. And they thought for that charge that he should be put to death. And so they bound him up and they took him to Pilate, who was the governor. I think it's strange there that they bound Jesus because Jesus was doing all of this willfully on his own. He didn't need to be bound. He wasn't going to run away. But we know at some point they had unbound him from when he was arrested. And now they have rebound him so that they can take him to Pilate. So my question here that we need to ask ourselves is, so why do they need Pilate? They've already met. They've already condemned him. They've already said that his charge should be, her sentence should be death. Why do they need Pilate? Why couldn't Caiaphas just handle things on his own? Well, the Jewish government that was called the Sanhedrin, they only had the power to decide religious matters. And they were not allowed to hand down a sentence of death. And so they could recommend death. They could say that this is what we have found for punishment to be reasonable. But they couldn't put that sentence down themselves. The power of death was only there for Roman rulers. Roman rulers could pass that sentence. And the Roman ruler here that Jesus was brought before was the governor. And his name was Pilate. Now Pilate was there in Jerusalem. He was there for the Passover that he had joined with all of his other soldiers. And he was there in wait. That wasn't something that happened by accident. It was something that God had already orchestrated. And they come with Jesus bound and they lead him before Pilate. Now this is the scene that Judas is seeing. Judas knows he's already done something that was terribly wrong, remember? And now he sees and hears that all of a sudden Jesus is now going to be put to death. He's being brought before Pilate on that charge. And verses 3 and 4 start how Judas reacts. It says, then when Judas, who had betrayed him, talking about Jesus, saw that he, meaning Jesus, had been condemned, he was convicted, he felt remorse. And he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and the elders. And he was saying this, he says, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. But they said, what is it? What is that to us? See to that yourself. Judas saw that the priest had handed over Jesus to Pilate. And Judas realized how serious his actions had been. He realized this wasn't a joke. This wasn't something to be taken lightly. And the verse here says that he made the statement and he said, I have sinned because I have betrayed innocent blood. And he tries to undo an already done situation. He tried to return the 30 silver coins to the priest that had paid him. He tried to give it back and to start over again. And these people that he tried to return these coins to, they did not care about how sorry he was. They didn't care about him. In fact, they didn't care about him at all. They didn't care who he was. They didn't care what he did. The only thing they cared about was trying to keep themselves looking clean. And that's what normally happens typically in our lives. The people that drag us into sin, the people that talk us into sin, the people that sin with us, they're the very people who care the least about you. They're the very ones that when the going gets tough, they take off on you. Now, thankfully, I haven't had anything in my adult life that's ever related to that, but I can remember in high school getting into trouble. And all of a sudden, something would happen and an administrator would come up, a principal would come into the scene. So maybe every now and then a cop would pull up. And what does everybody do? They scatter. And if you're the last one left, do they care? No, it's every man for himself. And so these people here who had taken Judas down into sin, who had been in sin with him, who had coaxed him into turning over Jesus, they could care less about Judas. They had used Judas for what they needed, and that's all that they cared about. But Judas, on the other hand, he's feeling remorse, and he wants to undo that sin. He wishes he had never done it. He wants to go back and undo what he's done. He wants to erase the crime. He wants to act like it never happened, and he's trying to find a way to do that, and so he's trying to return this. He wants so much for those people to say, well, we forgive you for what you've done, and we'll take that money back. And in his mind, that was going to unwind everything. And I remember one time when I was in high school, I was applying for a job as at a retail store. And they took my application, they called me in for an interview, and they made me sit and take a test. And they told me that this test was designed to tell my honesty. Has anybody ever done an honesty test before? And they said this was going to tell how honest I was. And I remember to this day that one of the questions on the test was, it says if you saw somebody take money out of the cash register, and then the next day you saw them put that money back in, would you consider them to have stolen? That was one of the questions on there. And you had to think about that a little bit, especially back in high school days, right? They took it. You saw them put it back. Do you consider them to have stolen? Well, of course, the answer there is yes. They did steal it. They did commit the crime. Let's take that to a bigger scale as we look here. If a person robbed a bank today And then in a few days they felt remorse and they returned the money back at the bank. Would that person still probably go to jail? Yes. Of course they would go to jail. You just can't unwind a sin that you've committed. You can't just go back and take back a wrong that you've done in the world. You can't just go back and get to zero because you all of a sudden feel remorseful. In each case, the person would have to pay for their crime, and Judas has to pay for his crime as well. He's in that same spot as that person who now feels remorse for a sin that they committed. He's got to pay for the crime. And paying back the silver doesn't erase everything that's already happened. Verse 5 there says, what does he do? Judas, he throws the pieces of silver into the sanctuary and he departs. And then he went away and he hanged himself. Now only here in Matthew does it record that Judas killed himself. But Acts 1, 18 through 19, which I'll turn over here and read, you don't have to go as well, it says, now this man acquired a field with the price of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all who were living in Jerusalem, so that in their own language, that field was called Hageltama, the field of blood. So here in Matthew, we see that he killed himself, but we also see a reference there in Acts that says he bought a field with the money and that he died there in that field. But both Matthew and in Acts, they say that people called that field the field of blood. And it corresponds with our scripture here today. Judas was dead. And it was all for the fact that he had never experienced forgiveness. Judas had gone back and tried to unwind his sin. He had asked for forgiveness of the people who were embattled in the sin with him. And when it didn't turn out the way that he thought it would, when he didn't receive any forgiveness, he went and he hanged himself. Judas, dead, with no forgiveness. And I don't want us to leave on that note. We want to talk about that in just a little bit as well, about that forgiveness that he had. But let's go ahead to verses 6 and 8 for right now. We'll go through that. It says, and the chief priests, they took the pieces of silver, they picked it up, and they said, oh no, it's not lawful to put these silver coins into the temple treasury. And why not? Since it is the price of blood. And they all counseled together, and with the money they bought the potter's field as a burial place for strangers. And for this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. And these priests, they were guilty. And they were guilty because they acted against the law, but they weren't worried about that. They paid to have an innocent man arrested, and that didn't even bother them. That wasn't what they were worried about. They acknowledged that using this blood money in the temple would be wrong. And so they were looking at how they would look to other people. They were worried about how they would seem to other folks. Money in the temple funds that was from a bad place. Oh no, we can't have that. So let's try to make up for what we've done. Here they're trying to make up. They're trying to make something better. So let's do something good with this money. Let's use it for a good purpose. And they bought a field for foreigners to bury their dead, and it was called a potter's field. It's like they did this bad thing, and so they thought by doing something good with it, it would erase their sin. They would get to go back to zero again. And why do we always think that? Why do we come up in our own lives that when we do something wrong, if we just counsel it out with something good, that it's going to erase what happened? It doesn't make sense. There's a commercial on TV, and I wish I'd looked up to see what it was. Y'all probably know, but the commercial on TV, it says, life comes at you fast. Is it an insurance commercial or something? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It says, life comes at you fast. And I was thinking about that here because for Judas and for these chief priests, there could never have been a truer statement made. Life was coming at them fast. All of a sudden, they were having to own up to what they had done. Life was coming and their decisions that they made were being brought to light. There were decisions now that needed to be made. And for all of these involved in the decisions that proved to be wrong, life was coming at them awful fast. Judas was grieved by his sin. But the one person that he needed forgiveness from, he didn't ask. You see, Judas went and he asked for forgiveness of these folks that were embattled in the sin with him. They asked for these chief priests and these scribes and those that could take the money back, but he never ever asked Jesus for the forgiveness that he needed. He never ever found that peace that comes with that forgiveness. Instead, he tries to give the money back, and he admits to the priest that he had sinned, and he asks them for forgiveness. But when we merely ask others to forgive us and we don't ask Jesus to forgive us, then we won't truly experience peace in our lives. And it's very evident here that Judas is wanting peace. He's wanting to get this turmoil out of his life. He's wanting this to be over with, because what was the end result? He couldn't get rid of it. And he went and he hung himself. And I think that's with a lot of people that commit suicide. They're looking for peace. They're trying to find that peace in their life. And when they don't find it, then they go to the ultimate end. And here is Judas, and the peace is right there for him. The peace is right there, where all he has to do is to make that repentance, to ask Jesus for forgiveness. Now, I'm not telling you this morning that we don't need to go ask people that we've wronged to forgive us, because we do. That's part of the process when we come to Jesus to ask Him to forgive us. In fact, there's a verse in Scripture, Matthew 5:24, says that you leave your offering there before the altar, and you go first and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering to the Lord. I'm saying if you only get forgiveness from the person that you've wronged, and you don't get forgiveness from Jesus, that you won't find peace. There's only one person that can supply that peace for us. There was only one person that could supply it for Judas here on this day. Verses 9 and 10. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Matthew here is using a verse from Zechariah 11:13. "And the Lord said to me, 'Throw it to the potter, the handsome price at which they valued me.' So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them to the potter at the house of the Lord." This was a picture of what would happen later here. Matthew said it had now come true. More prophecy had been fulfilled. And Judas' wages had bought the potter's field, a field purchased with blood. Now, you know, when I get to this part of the story and I look at this guy, Judas, I know that it would be normal for us to just be mad at Judas. It'd be normal for us just to have these ill feelings towards Judas. It would be understandable, right? But I kind of feel sorry for Judas. You know, I listen to his story, I see what he's gone through, and I get to this point, and I just kind of have a place in my heart that feels sorry for Judas. And I know that's not a popular stance to take. But I think about all that Judas missed out on. I think that all that Judas could have had. You know, he missed out on all the things that come from Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection. He missed out on forgiveness, and he missed out on peace in his life, and he missed out on power that only Jesus can provide, because he ended his life before Jesus came back from the dead. He ended his life before Jesus was resurrected. He ended his life before he could have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of him. And he never asked Jesus to forgive him, so he never experienced that true peace. And I feel sorry for Judas, thinking about what his life could have been. And I look at so many people in our world today, and I feel sorry for them as well, knowing what their life could be if they would just turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. If they would just turn to God instead of to the world, and I say, you know, how much better their life would be. And that doesn't mean that somebody's always going to be wealthy and things are always going to go right in their life and they're never going to have any health problems and their kids are going to be perfect and everything's going to be great. What it means is that when you go through those situations in life, that you have somebody to turn to so you can find that peace inside of you. Some of the most peaceful people that I've ever met are on their deathbed. Some of the most peaceful people that I've ever met are homeless. Some of the most peaceful people that I've ever met are somebody that just lost a loved one. And it's amazing to see that when they put God first in their life, that they find that presence and that peace. I'm feeling sorry for Judas at this point. I'm not wanting him to not be punished. I'm not wanting him to not go through what he needs to go through. I'm sorry at the fact that he could never find the peace that's available to all of us. Jesus is hanging on the cross. We see in Luke 23, verse 34, what he says when he's hanging there. And we all know this scripture very well. He says, "Father, what? Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Who was God talking about forgiving? Who was God to forgive? What was Jesus saying? Who are these people that he's forgiving? He's forgiving all of those that are responsible for the death of Jesus on the cross, all of those that have sinned. Wasn't Judas one of those people? Wouldn't Judas have qualified to be in that group of people that he says forgive them for they know not what they do? Had Judas just held on a little bit longer, would he not have been one of those that could have received that forgiveness? Would he not have had that peace? Sometimes when folks come and they want to talk about an issue with a marriage, and they're like, well, we're done. We're just wanting to get this over with. And it's to the end. And I always ask them a question. I say, well, let me ask you something. Can you hang on for one more day? Can you just go one more day? Because maybe tomorrow Jesus is going to heal your relationship. Maybe tomorrow is that one day he wants you to stick it out one more day. Maybe you give up today and then one day in life you meet the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, I don't know why you didn't believe in me. I just wanted you to hang in there one more day and I was going to fix everything for you. Who knows if Judas' life, if one more day would have made a difference where he could have received that peace that Jesus can give. If Judas had been alive, then God would have offered this forgiveness that Judas needed if he would have only gone to Jesus and asked for it. And the first thing here that I want us to see that Judas missed out on was he missed out on that forgiveness. Judas' sins could have been forgiven if only he hadn't given up. I've heard people say in life, just like in that marriage, they say, oh, if I, you know, got some terminal disease or something, I would just like to go ahead and die. You know, if something was diagnosed of me where it was terminal, I would just like to not even be here anymore. And I look back at them and I say, well, not me, because, you know, it'd be my luck right after the day I died, then they would come out with a cure for whatever it was that I had. I want to be here another day. I want to be here so God can heal me. I want to be here so God can work in my life one more day. There's amazing things that the Lord does in people who only have supposedly a couple of days left to live. There's amazing things that God can do in a life or a situation that you think is at the end. Judas just didn't turn to Jesus. Right after Judas kills himself, Jesus dies for Judas' sins. You might ask yourself, so, Pastor, you're saying that even Judas could be forgiven? Yes. Even Judas, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And the Lord doesn't want anybody to perish, not even Judas. And that's good news for us, to know that God wants to forgive us of our sins, no matter how bad we think that they are. But just like Judas, we have decisions that we have to make. And just like Judas, life is coming at you fast. And you have to make a decision. Judas chose the wrong one. He chose to betray Jesus. He chose to die without forgiveness. And he was so close. He was so close. You see, in order to receive forgiveness, there are basically three things that you have to do. And if you're taking notes this morning, you could write these down. The first thing that you have to do to receive forgiveness is you have to admit that you have sinned. You have to say, Jesus, you know, I've really messed it up. You know, I've really made a mistake. You know, I really am a sinner. And Judas actually did this. It was to the wrong people. Judas said, I have sinned. He didn't make any excuses. He didn't say, I sinned because of. He didn't say, I have sinned because somebody. He said, I have sinned. He owned up to it to others around him. Judas knew he was in trouble. He knew the ship was sinking and it was coming off track. And he acknowledged that he was a sinner. And we have to admit first that we're a sinner. The second thing we have to do is have remorse for our sin. Verse 3 says that Judas was remorseful. And we know that he was remorseful because he tried to give the money back. He didn't want it. Greedy old Judas, the one that was in charge of all the money, said that this money is bringing me no peace. I don't want this money. And folks, money never will bring you peace. I promise you that. Money with the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ will not bring you peace. It never, ever does. The third thing that we have to do is our acceptance of forgiveness that is offered to us by our faith. You see, we believe that the Lord will forgive us. We know that the Lord will forgive us. And we have to ask Jesus for forgiveness, and we have to know that we can accept that forgiveness, and then we can move on with our lives. We can lay it down at the cross and leave it and get going on. There are people here today that are in this very room that believe in Romans 3:23 that says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And they're remorseful about the sin that's in their life, but they still are walking around with it and they haven't taken it to the cross. And they haven't asked the Lord to forgive them. People sitting right here next to you today, I promise, still have unforgiven sin because they haven't asked God to forgive them. So Judas had done some of the things that he needed to be forgiven of. He knew he needed forgiveness, but he was asking from the wrong people. Judas looks like he's pretty close to getting forgiveness, but he really wasn't as close as we first thought he was. He admitted that he had sinned, but he only admitted that to people, not to God. He had remorse. I mean, he tried to give the cash back, but if you did the crime, you have to do the time. Being remorseful doesn't just bring you peace. He asked for forgiveness, but he asked it of the wrong people. He didn't ask it of Jesus. So Judas was close, but yet was so far away. And the despair that he was feeling is what ended his life. And when we sin, we need to immediately go to the Lord and ask for His forgiveness. Everything else is secondary. We need to repent from that sin. We need to turn away from it, stop doing it, and ask Jesus to forgive us. Now, the second thing here this morning I want to see that Judas missed out on was Judas missed out on peace. You see, after Jesus rose from the dead, He appears to His disciples. And what does He say to them? He says, "Peace be with you." He offers them peace. He returns and he reveals Himself to them. And they're all worried and they're all huddled together wondering what they're going to do. And He comes in and says, "Peace be with you." And if only Judas would have not given up, he would have heard these words from Jesus Himself. And what comforting words those are in our lives to hear Jesus say, "Peace be with you." You know, sometimes I just get where kind of get worked up about things. I don't know if anybody else, maybe I'm the only one in here, but anybody ever get worked up? No? Everybody's stress-free? Everybody's good to go? How many people on blood pressure medicine? Raise your hand. I'm not, but I just... Sometimes I just get kind of worked up, and man, I'm going, oh my goodness, I just can't even take this, and you know, you almost feel like you're in a panic attack or something, you know, kind of situation, and then all of a sudden it occurs to me, you know what I need to do? I just need to pray. You know, I just need to pray. I just need to pray that God will just take this away. And when you pray to God, it's unbelievable how He just kind of lowers all the stress. And you just kind of get back to normal again. You know, I shared I'm a little bit claustrophobic and didn't know that until one time I was stuck in a plane for 2 hours on a tarmac with no AC. And I found that I was claustrophobic. And I felt like I couldn't breathe. I felt like I had to get out of that place. I felt like I was going to have a panic attack. And I put my head back and I sang every hymn out loud that I have ever known. I know the people around me, they were either singing with me or covering ears. I don't know what they were doing, but... And I just started praying. And I'm singing hymns and I'm praying, I'm singing hymns and I'm praying. And you know, God just took all that away. And all of a sudden I started to calm down and things started going. And I can just, in my mind, imagine at that time, Jesus coming and saying, "Michael, peace be with you." You see, the peace is there. We just have to ask for it. Peace is there. Judas missed out on peace. He never heard those words, and he dies without it. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you," in John 14:27. And who has the peace? Here it says it's Jesus who has the peace. He's the giver of peace. And so am I going to lean on God's word and believe that through faith Jesus can forgive me for my sins so that I can receive that peace? Or am I going to act like this word's not even here? You see, in our lives, we have to rely on this. We have to have faith in this to know that He can give us that peace. He's the supplier of that peace. But most of us don't even claim that peace for ourselves. It's like God saying, "Okay, here's some peace. If you want it, take it." say, I'll just leave it right there. I really don't want that in my life. You know, I was reading an article that said that suicide is the 11th leading cause of death in America. Think about that. The scary thing is that it's the third leading cause of death in 15 to 24 year olds. That's crazy. People that need peace that passes all understanding. Peace that only forgiveness can provide. Now, the Greek word for peace is eirene. It means to set at one again. And our sin keeps us away from a relationship with God. And when we accept Him as our Savior, then we're set back at one again. We're set back at that beginning number again. Now, Donna, everybody knows, has been having a little blood pressure problem and stuff that's been going on for a few weeks. And so she's monitoring her blood pressure all the time. And, you know, every time she checks her blood pressure, she gets back on that machine again and it sets itself back at zero. It goes back to the beginning before it finds out where we are. And here it says that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we set ourselves at one again. We're back to the beginning. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. We're forgiven of our sins. And just like when we ask Him to forgive us, we're set back at one. Now I'm convinced that if Judas would have asked for forgiveness, that Jesus could have provided him that peace. I'm convinced that if Judas would have just asked Jesus to forgive him, that Jesus would have done just that. And why am I convinced of that? Because the Bible tells me so. The third thing that Judas missed out on was power. People say, Pastor, what is that? That don't make any sense. He missed out on power. How would he get power? Because the Bible says that there was power that was found when Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. If he had only relied on the Lord, 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus told his disciples, the remaining 11 disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. The power of the Holy Spirit. There's no power greater. Jesus gives that great commission. He tells his disciples to go out. He says, I need you to go out and spread this message. But then he says, but hold up. Don't go yet. Wait, stop. Hold up. What are they waiting on? The power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, because Jesus knew that through that power was how they were going to be effective ministers for Christ. It's that power of the Holy Spirit that we receive when we become saved, giving us the power to do all things through Christ. However, when we go through life's trials and situations, we tend to forget that the Holy Spirit is inside of us. We forget that we have this power inside of us that other people might not have. We forget to unleash that power of the Holy Spirit. Instead, we try to take it on our own shoulders and our own weight. We forget it's there. I like to read the Reader's Digest every now and then. They tell a little story about a country farmer who was driving home when he ran his pickup truck out of gas. He didn't have a gas can, and so he pushed the truck about 2 miles to a gas station. When he got there from tackling this problem all by himself, he was tired and he was spent and he was sweating and he could barely breathe or talk. And he looks at the gas attendant and he says, well, go ahead and fill it up. The gas attendant looked back at him and said, would you like for me to fill up the front tank or the back tank? And the farmer shook his head because he had forgotten that he had a back tank. And the tank was full of gas. And he had never used it. And he had pushed this truck for 2 miles with a truck that was full of gas in the second tank. He never called upon the power of the gas that was in there to crank his truck. He had forgotten that it was there. And so he went about handling the problem all by himself. And we do the same thing with the Holy Spirit. We push for 2 miles because we forget we have that power of the Holy Spirit. And instead of calling on that Spirit to help us, we end up spent and exhausted and out of gas. Let's not rely on ourselves. Let's use that power that has been given to us. The power that Judas missed is available for all of us. No matter of our age or our race or our sex, we just have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. So when life comes at us fast, we need to be ready to call upon the Lord. We need to be ready to repent of our sins and to ask for forgiveness. And then if we ask for forgiveness and truly mean it, Jesus forgives us and we experience peace. I pray today that we found a message here that helps us to understand how powerful that forgiveness of Jesus really is. You know, we talked about Peter earlier, and as we continue to look in Peter's life, we'll see that Peter became, you know, this incredible person for Christ, and he asked for forgiveness, he received forgiveness. He found that peace, and he was used in unbelievable ways. And on the other hand, here's Judas, who didn't ask for forgiveness, who never found peace, and was used for nothing. Matter of fact, now if you say the name Judas, most people think of something terrible, not something that's good. One of the ways that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a believer is through communion. And so today we have the table set before us, and we're going to partake of Holy Communion today.